Verse 17. And iniquities will I remember no more. The big cover up. The biggest cover up you ever saw. The big cover up. Their sins and iniquities I remember no more. Why? I covered them up by the blood. Nobody can find them. Let them dig all they want to. Nobody can find them. They're covered. Covered by the blood. What a wonderful thought. You're free. Guilt is a thing of the past. You're free. Hallelujah. No tribunal will be able to bring them against you anymore. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Why? Because Jesus was sufficient. All the rest pointed to him, and he took care of the debt. Praise God. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's what we need to enter in. Boldness. Bold faith to enter in and claim the blessing. And anybody tries to stop us, flash the blood. My ID. My authority. The blood. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Praise God. He made a way where we'd get through. What's behind the veil? God. Presence of God. Only the priest could go once a year. Amen. Gather dust the rest of the time. Amen. But he has made a way for us to get to God through the veil. That is his flesh. Amen. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Amen. Seeing God's covered your sins and gave you a new lease on life, a brand new start, a new beginning, let's draw near. You'd like to go all the way, wouldn't you? How many want to go through? Say amen. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast. Amen. Let us draw near, and then let's hold on. Hallelujah. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You'll have a thing to worry about. Just wait on him. Hold on. He'll make it worth your while. He'll reward you. And let us consider one another. Ah, the very beginnings of a Christian life, we have consideration for others. We want to see everybody else saved we can get. Amen. Yes, we become considerate. When one time we didn't care. We were just out for number one. I'm sorry that some folks landed in the church and drifted back into that old self thing. Amen. But if you really live for God, you're interested in others. Amen. And someone said, if we're supposed to live for others, pray tell me what others are supposed to be doing. Well, the others are supposed to learn by our example to live for others also. And they in turn also live for others. And the whole world is seasoned and blessed, hallelujah, by this holy thing that has taken a hold in our life. And listen to this, big change has happened in our life, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Resurrection life is coursing through our spiritual veins tonight. We're drawing near to God and closer and closer. We're seeking a closer walk with God. Our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience, praise God. And now we're considering one another and we're provoking one another to love and to good works. And in doing that, we get together often. A whole bunch of times at the Highway of Holiness every week. We come together and enjoy worshiping God together. We need each other's fellowship. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, let's say that together, so much the more, say it again, so much the more. Now you got your eyes open. You can see something. Here he tells us what we can see. We see the day approaching. That's why we're supposed to do it much the more. We see the day approaching. So we exhort one another. Praise God. The day is approaching. For if we sin willfully, we don't make a practice of sinning anymore. We sin willfully that we... If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You go back into willful, wanton sin. Blood don't count then. Grace don't cover then. It's nothing more clear than that right here. If you go back into willful, wanton sin, you're not going in the rapture like some folks teach. You go back into willful, wanton, habitual sin, you're going to miss the rapture. Amen. Because there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. But what a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. And that's what we become when we drift back into sin, an adversary. Listen to this. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. This is a sober warning now. How much sorer punishment? Suppose ye shall be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Oh, you can't get more sober in your warnings than that. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Now, what is wrong with folks that backslide and still stay in church? Amen. They become enemies of those that would live for God. And the church splits right down the middle because some are disobedient. And some hair off and start a new church, a worldly church, and usually winds up being bigger, not always, but sometimes, because they don't have any conditions to meet. Amen. Oh, yes. But it is a fearful thing. We know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I'll recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And he is doing that right now. Amen. There is a judgment going on. The computer is running in heaven. And he's putting names in and he's racing names. What did Jesus say to the church of Sardis? To the overcomer, I'll not blot his name out of the book of life. That makes it obvious that those that don't overcome will be blotted out of the book of life. God keeps books, computers running. Amen. You can't do wrong and get by. Child of God, repent quickly. Be a good repenter. Amen. Praise God. Be tender and be pliable, partly while she were made. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Amen. It was tougher in that day because whole huge religious chasms had to be bridged. It was tougher then. Most of us haven't had to endure much living for God. Amen. I suppose probably the children at school and the guys at work feel the sharp fire of this peer pressure more than anybody, like Sister Bonnie was talking about a while ago. Amen. And Jessica going to school living for God. Amen. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them which were so used, you've changed friends. And that's the way to live for God. Change friends. Get the right kind of friends. You've changed companions. Get the right kind of companions. You won't last very long if you don't change company. Amen. Jimmy Trimble was doing good. He was the son of the owners and operators of the Palace Theater in Thayer, Missouri. Sold popcorn up front. Jimmy got saved in a Methodist meeting. And Jimmy Trimble, that big old boy out of Thayer, Missouri, wound up in Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. Amen. Jimmy Trimble was going to Bible school, going to make a preacher out of himself. Amen. And Jimmy got into a prayer group that was seeking more of God. At that time, they didn't have such stringent qualifications to get in Bob Jones University. Now, if you even think about believing and speaking in tongues, they won't let you in. If you even think about being Pentecost, they won't let you in. But then, they were a little more loose. Amen. And so there were a prayer group in Bob Jones University that was seeking the Holy Ghost. And Jimmy Trimble, right under the nose of the teachers and all those students, amen, that boy that sold popcorn in the theater on the streets of Thayer, Missouri, that's right across the Rhine from Mammoth Spring, Arkansas, amen, Jimmy Trimble got the Holy Ghost. Amen. But Jimmy made a mistake. He gone to one of Jack Coe's meetings and was doing good. Came back with a little bottle of oil and he was praying for the sick like Jack Coe and casting out devils like Jack Coe and discerning ailments like Brother Branham. Amen. And all kinds of stuff. But then we begin to suspect that Jimmy was outstretching his real growth. Amen. And his experiences were somewhat spurious. Amen. It came out then when Jimmy was home and he's driving up and down the streets in his folks' Cadillac with a carload of sinner's boys. Now, I don't care if you have been filled with the Holy Ghost and got the power of God in your life. Amen. And you've been doing good. If you start running around with the wrong companions, it'll tell on you after a while. Amen. Well, it wasn't long. People were talking about Jimmy running around with those sinner boys. You be careful who you seek out for friends. If you're going to live for God. Huh? Amen. You will follow those who you run with. You can't hardly keep from it. Amen. And so, first thing you know, Jimmy disappeared. He had preached for me at my church. I started pastoring at the ripe old age of 17 years. But if you'd gone through what I had and been through what I had and aged like I had, amen, 17 years didn't mean anything. I was mature beyond my years to a certain degree because I'd gone through so much. God got me ready for it. Amen. Well, Jimmy disappeared. Amen. Didn't see him for a long time. Where's he gone? Has he gone back to Bob Jones's? Where's he gone? One day I stopped at the Home Oil Company in Thayer, Missouri. Amen. And one of the boys that worked there said, "Where's your buddy Jim Trimble? How's he doing?" And I said, "I don't know. I haven't seen him for a while." We preached against all kind of worldly associations, and we preached against going to the carnival, and we preached against going to the movies, and I began to hear that Jimmy was back down selling popcorn at the theater again. Now you start running around with the wrong crowd, you'll wind up in the wrong place. This boy that said, what's happened to your buddy Jimmy Trimble? He knew the Home Oil Company gas station was only 2 blocks from the church I pastored. Hardly that, about a block and a half. Amen. And two of those boys was associated with people, went to my church. One of them, wife, went to my church faithful. Amen. Said, "How's your buddy Jim Trimble doing?" I said, "I don't know. I haven't seen him for a while." He said, "Boy," said, "I saw him down at the reunion. That's Mammoth Spring Soldiers and Sailors annual reunion with the biggest carnival that they can get coming into town every August to have the big reunion, the biggest holiday that Mammoth Spring, Arkansas has." And he said, "I saw him down at the reunion the other night," and said, "Boy, he was really knocking them balls off of them racks." Now, folks, that's where you used to put down a dime. And it's probably a quarter, a half a dollar, a dollar now. Amen. And if you could knock them dolls off, you'd get it. You'd win it. Or you could win your money back. And if you could use a real good shot, you could win quite a bit of money. But the rack was rigged. We didn't know it, but it was rigged. You couldn't hardly knock them off, go between them, or nothing else. You had to really know what you're doing in order to be able to win. And nobody really wins at those little gambling joints. Amen. Where you fish for them animals. Throw them rings over that thing and you get those expensive gifts, you know. Oh, so tantalizing. So tricky. Amen. What are they? They're there to lure you like the moth is lured to the flame. Amen. Now, Jimmy started out driving up and down the streets with a carload of unsaved boys. Amen. Now he's back at the theater selling popcorn. And I'll tell you something, folks, carrying a bottle of oil in your pocket and healing the sick and casting out devils and discerning people's afflictions, don't go with that. It just don't go together. Amen. When you get saved, you change crowds. When you get saved, you change association. Amen. Else why the gazing stock? Partly while she were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while she became companions of them which were so used. Girls wear dresses, modest dresses. Well, it's a big problem going to school nowadays, particularly public school. And you're the only one in class wearing a dress. Amen. Yeah. And what happens? You're made a gazing stock. And they just can't keep their mouth shut about it neither. They talk about you. And sometimes they talk about you to you. Amen. I don't see why you want to do all that old stuff. I'm a Christian and I pray too. I don't have to do that. But they're not a gazing stock. Amen. A child of God. Amen. He only becomes a gazing stock. He becomes buddies to them that are gazing stocks. Come on. He becomes friends to those who are gazing stocks. Those who are. Amen. Because you became companions of them who were so used or misused. Amen. Persecuted. Yes, we need each other's fellowship. We need to stand together. Christian even had faithful to go with him. Amen. And when they didn't stop at Vanity's Fair and partake of their wares, and Faithful was martyred, amen, God gave him other friends along the road to the celestial city. Praise God. If you're a child of God and you're really interested in going to heaven and you got good sense, I said good sense, you know the reason some people don't live for God and separate from the world? They're too stupid to live for God. The Bible's got another word for it. Starts with an S also. Simple. Amen. Too simple. Easy. Gullible. Enough said. Easy persuaded. Easy lured away. Praise God. Amen. Night after I got saved, Audrey Case. Audrey lived down the creek from us, about a mile and a half, raised with five brothers, or more or less. Amen. There was Troy and Harlan and Sonny and Theo and Cleo and some of the smaller ones even. Amen. And then Audrey was right in the middle between Harlan and Cleo. Amen. One day I was scuffling a little bit with Audrey outside the schoolhouse as we got ready to head for home across the swinging bridge. I thought it won't be any trouble to twist Audrey's arm up behind her back and make her holler, "Give up." Amen. Before you could say scat, Audrey had thrown me flat on my back. Audrey was tough. Amen. She's the only girl that ever throwed me in a wrestling match. Amen. And one day I was down at some occasion with my good clothes on. Maybe it was Sunday, I don't know. Need to get across the creek, and Audrey carried me across the creek on her back. Audrey was tough. Barefooted. Amen. Amen. Audrey married this cousin of mine, Dave Porter. Steve Porter was his dad. He was the mechanic in Mammoth Spring for ages, and he could fix them, Randy. Those old cars, those simple old machines, Steve could fix them. Dave was his son, and Dave married Audrey and died, man, 30 years ago with cancer. Dave did. Audrey never did remarry. Amen. We was down to visit my brother the other day, and I parked out of his garage there on the corner where his place is, Sister Collins and I was there. Of Carl said, there's a woman up there that'd like to see you sometime. I looked up out there working in the garden, and there was Audrey carrying armloads of stuff and pushing a wheelbarrow across the yard. I waved at her, you know. Audrey had met me the night I came out of the altar and got saved and said, you shouldn't have done that. Now you can't go to the show, you can't go to the parties, you can't go to the ball games, you can't go to the skating rink, you can't do nothing. Amen. And you know what? Audrey was right. She's the first one. She was a sinner, and she's the first one to ever preach separation from the world. Amen to me. And her a sinner. She knew if you got saved, you had to separate from the world. Amen. And so Audrey, a sinner, was the first one that preached any holiness to me. I didn't know a thing about holiness. I just scared to death the Lord's coming. I wasn't ready, and I got saved. Amen. Audrey, we was home. She lives just across the road from my brother on the same street, but across the street that separates the two blocks. They both live on the corner, in other words. She was up there in the yard, so I crossed the road and climbed up in the yard. She said, are you Junior? I said, yeah, I'm Junior. And I began to talk to her. I said, you never did remarry, Audrey. No, she said, the church I go to teaches against double marriage. And I said, oh, you're going to church? She said, yes, and I go to Welcome Hill Church of Christ. Amen. Audrey's in a big nest of Church of Christ. I don't think Steve was Church of Christ, and I don't think Dave was Church of Christ. But Audrey has become Church of Christ. And she said, they don't believe in double marriage, and so I just never did marry again. Talked with her, asked her for a start of her irises that she had around the tree, special color. She told me when she took them up next year, she'd try to think and give me some of them. Amen. Audrey is still living. But she's going to a different church. Folks, I want to go on with God, don't you? Wouldn't you like to go on with God? Listen. Any old church is good enough to go to in this world, if that's all you're interested in. Pick you out one. Pick you out the one that fits in the best. Amen. But if you really want to go on with God, you need to find the right church. You need to find the right bunch to run with. I hope Audrey has found God. I hope she knows the Lord. Really. Amen. But I have my reservations about a lot of churches. See, I had a chance to make all those choices right on. I had a chance to make all those choices early. We were a community church, and church was a social center in all denominations. Old white-haired mother, amen, Sister Dodge, she was a Methodist, and she shouted up and down the aisles of Old Union Hill Church, a Methodist, praise God, and hollered glory, amen. And we'd have the Baptist preacher come for us. And one night somebody got saved in a revival meeting. Brother Mayfield almost tore the stove pipes down on the stove shouting. Amen. And so we all shouted together. And I had my chance to make a choice. One day sitting there before we started Sunday school, Nanny Waits was there. Nanny and Dave were fine people in that country. And Nanny and Dave fit in just like all the rest of us did. There was Dave Waits, Cleve Waits. They both went to church. They both sang bass. Amen. Cleve sang bass. He sang the same note all the way through. Amen. Never did change notes. They sung bass. Amen. Dave kind of sang bass. But they were good people, godly people, for country folks, and would do anything for you. And Dave and Nanny Waits was the father and mother of Ethel Hatfield. Ethel married Brother Fred Hatfield when they were still sinners. And Fred and Harold got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and called to preach, praise God. And Ethel became a preacher's wife. And so Dave and Nanny were in on the ground floor, so to speak, of a brand new ministry, praise God. And Fred Hatfield was one of the leaders in my time. My God, how he could pray. Amen. And so Nanny, she knew all about it too. And I look back at Nanny sitting there in Old Big Creek Church. We still have Sunday school in Old Big Creek Schoolhouse then. Amen. I said, Nanny, you know I believe we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I had already made my choice to go on with God. Many people in the community had made their choice not to. And I remember how they talked about old Mother Hatfield, the mother of all them seven or eight Hatfield boys that became strong in the Lord, maybe with the exception of one. Harold and Fred both became great preachers and evangelists. Amen. I remember one day they came by and Fred's Model A Ford taking Granny Hatfield for treatment. She was real bad sick. Something was wrong. And I remember we was over at the Dodge household. Amen. And they all looked at one another and talked in whispers, you know. They believe and trust in God. Amen. They believed in faith healing. Praise God. I made my choice there too, to trust in God, to believe God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, hallelujah. I had some choices to make early on, and I didn't compromise. I could not compromise. I almost became a charismatic before there ever was such a thing. I almost became a latter rain before there ever was such a thing. Amen. You see, I decided I wasn't going to do like Audrey said. I wasn't going to quit all that stuff. I was going to have all that stuff and Jesus too. And you know what? That's just exactly what the charismatics preach you today. You can have all this, shout and speak in tongues, and have Jesus too. You can wear your breeches and go to your beach parties and have Jesus too. And that's what they're preaching. That's what they're teaching by their example. But if you go on with God, you got choices to make. Amen. I said, Sister Nanny, I was just a kid, 14, 15 years old. I said, I think we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I began to seek a closer walk with God. I joined in with those that believed such things. Amen. And providentially, Sister Brown, I never met her personally in my life. We just called her Old Lady Brown. She owned the Brown Place, and they was the ones that gave the land to the school to build Big Creek School. And the contract said when the school ceased to exist, amen, the land would go back to the people that owned it to start with. And we just went on having church at Old Big Creek School after the school consolidated and the district gave up the rights to it. And one day we got the news that Old Lady Brown was closing Big Creek School. Now, what a terrible thing that Miss Brown was closing Big Creek School. What a mean old woman that is to close Big Creek School. But really, Oscar Oakley, it was a providence of God. I wouldn't have got the Holy Ghost in a million years going to Big Creek. Amen. But that throwed us to have to go to the school on the other northwest part of the county. Amen. That was Field Creek Church.
And we started going to Field Creek Church, and it had Pentecostal leaders, Pentecostal folks directing it. Amen. Pentecostal folks were in charge. They had Pentecostal revivals. They had Pentecostal revivals. Amen. They had Pentecostal evangelists. Hey, amen. And it was there in a few months when the fire had gone out in the old country church, after I'd kept them all up sometime to 1 o'clock at night, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost after most of them had gone home. When God closes one door, folks, go through the next one. Don't try to force a closed door. Amen. Go through the next door. God may have a purpose in it. Hallelujah. God wanted to get me out of it. I was teaching Sunday school at Big Creek Church before I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I'd have been hung up there in a rut if I hadn't gone to Field Creek, forced to by consolidation. And old Lady Brown. Amen. Thank God for old Lady Brown. She fell right into the will of God in that case. Her opposition to continuing to having church. Amen. In Big Creek School, the old schoolhouse still sat there. Sandra went home with us a few years ago and got up real early in the morning, took off down that creek and took pictures of it. Amen. Waded that creek and took pictures of it. The boys have knocked the windows out, knocked holes in the wall, but it has survived the test of time, and it still stands there. A memorial. Big Creek School District number one. There's not even a road to it now, because when they closed up school and cut the mail route out around through there, county closed up the road. And then keep up the road, and the owners of the land fence the roads in. Amen. Well, you can't go back. You got to go on. Field Creek was an open door into the future. I got the baptism there on a Sunday night. Praise God. On a Monday night, stood up in revival at Midway Church. Hallelujah. And testified to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I said, I know that I can't stop here, that I've just begun in God. It's good to know that. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not a stopping place. It's a starting place. Amen. To do more for God. Amen. Lord help. I don't even know what to call this tonight. You had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoil of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. They had joined hands with the persecuted, hated, despised Apostle Paul, the jailbird, and helped him to preach the gospel. Praise God. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Amen. We started going to Big Creek Church. The Lassiter family were prominent in the church. Sister Rosa Hatfield went there because Sister Zella Green Johnson had preached on them hills and had such revivals on those hills, praise God, and did such a great work all the way from West Plains, Missouri to Hoxie, Arkansas. Over a stretch of 100 miles had won people to God, and directly and indirectly responsible for churches being built, because she did such a great job in revival meeting. I didn't know it till my mom was in the rest home in 1913. Zella Green Johnson had did such a work for God that when my mom was born to Rodin Herbert Robinson, Rodin named my mother Zella after that preacher girl. And then when my mom's sister Hazel was born,
They named her Hazel after Sister Hazel Jackson, Green Jackson, Brother Gerald Green's aunt, amen, who had an appointment to preach second or third week in March in Salem, Arkansas. And she said, "It's time you boys get started." And we rode in her husband's pickup truck to Salem, Arkansas, and started preaching together. And I didn't know how our destinies were already intertwined, that my mother was named after Gerald's aunt, and my Aunt Hazel was named after Gerald's aunt. Amen. But I found the right bunch. Bethel Creek is my home church, and Brother Raymond Lee Lasseter, but this time they've got a 1947 pickup truck after the war, and that was the best pickup truck in the country. Amen. And they hauled us kids all over the country, and we didn't care. It was an open pickup truck. And when Mr. Lasseter told us about Oral Roberts being in Memphis, Tennessee in 1950, and that he had heard him in Alton, and what a great man of God he was. He wanted to take a bunch of us. He loaded a bunch of us in the back of that cattle wreck of that 47 Chevrolet pickup truck. And we rode 150 miles to Memphis, Tennessee to be in Oral Roberts' meeting, healing the sick, casting out devils, preaching holiness, folks. And he did then. Amen. A lady come up with a diamond ring on her, just prayed for her. "Oh, Robert said you give up that diamond ring for your healing." She did. Lady prayed for her and got healed. She said she's going to church. He said, "What kind of church are you going to?" She said, "A holiness church." Oh, Robert's rejoiced, said, "Looks like holiness is getting popular nowadays." Because Oral Roberts then belonged to the Pentecostal Holiness denomination. Amen. Amen. And when men fail, you don't have to follow them. You follow God. Amen. When Oral Roberts begin to decrease, and a lot of those men can't take coming down, they just build bigger, build bigger buildings and come out with bigger gimmicks and ask for more money. It'd been better that they'd faded into oblivion and left a good taste in folks' mouth. Praise God. And to go the way they went. What do you do when men go down like that? "Cast not away your confidence," verse 35, "which has great recompense and reward. So you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Praise God. Brother Raymond Lee Lasseter hauled us to church. Amen. Took us places. We went to Oral Roberts' meeting in 1950. I sought the Holy Ghost in a prayer tent in Memphis, Tennessee. Amen. A man with a big shine on his face and a smile said, "You seeking the Holy Ghost?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "It's sure for you." He was an encouragement. I sought the Holy Ghost everywhere I went. They had at least one mourner on the mourner's bench, and that was me. And after seeking the Holy Ghost nonstop, every waking moment, every day, every time I had a chance to pray, every time I had a chance alone, hunting the cows, milking the cows, doing the chores at home, praise God, I was praying, "Lord, give me a closer walk. Lord, give me a closer walk." Hitchhiking to church and shouting with the saints and going on with God. And I thought, I can't seek it no harder. And I don't know if I can hold out or not. And a fellow standing beside the door one night came down to visit from West Plains up north somewhere with Sister Annie Abney, and came to preach. Amen. And he said, "I see your hunger for the Holy Ghost." I said, "Yes." He said, "It took me 35 years to get the Holy Ghost. I didn't know if I could hold out or not, but I was in the race." Praise God. It didn't take 35 years. Praise God. In 2 or 3 months, God had filled me the Holy Ghost and called me to preach. Praise God. Brother Raymond Lee Lasseter had been fighting the call of God for a long time. Listen, if you'll run with the right people and run with the right crowd, you'll help somebody else. Amen. Brother Raymond Lee Lasseter had been slack to launch out full time for God and announce that he was called to preach. And Brother Gerald and I preached our first message. Amen. And claim that victory in that 5-minute message that Sunday morning. And Brother Amon Lee couldn't stand it any longer. Praise God. He launched out and started preaching. Hit the ground like a house of fire, preaching instantly. And so there was 3 of us. Amen. Preaching the gospel. That fall I started pastoring. Brother Gerald and Brother Raymond Lee went on holding revivals together, leaning on each other. If you stay with me.